Welcome to the Secret Code to Government Proposal Success podcast series brought to you by OCI. In each episode, we will shine a light into new ways that government contractors can win new business, secure recompetes, and achieve long-term success. With the federal fiscal year for 2020 coming to a close and fiscal year 2021 about to kick off on October 1st, many contractors are developing strategies for winning new business and recompetes in the wake of what has been a very unprecedented year with the COVID-19 pandemic. And for this episode, we are speaking with Judy Bratt, who is the CEO and founder of Summit Insight, and she is a widely recognized government contracting expert. And today, Judy will be sharing her insights into how contractors can gear up for a successful fiscal year 2021.
Okay, great. I'm Judy Bratt, CEO of Summit Insight, and Matt and I are talking about federal contracting and what's going to make a difference as we move forward into, hey, are you tired of 2020? If you're a government contractor, happy new year. Your new year just started on October 1st. How great is that? You get to say goodbye to a full year of Mercury in retrograde now.
I love it. What a great way to kick off this podcast. That is fantastic. And before we hit record, you were talking about kind of the data and being in data in flow and forming natural connections to get more federal business. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Sure. You know, you would think I started work in the federal market in 1988 when really the official public source of government contracting opportunities was the Commerce Business Daily. I'm not going to ask you or anybody else whether you're old enough to remember, but for those who have never seen a Commerce Business Daily, it was published by the Department of Commerce and it came out daily. It was printed on tissue paper, white or yellow, whatever they happen to have, in 3-point type. And it is the reason why I now wear corrective eyewear. But that was the place where little contract notices were published. That was it. Now, fast forward over 30 years, and there's never been more sources of data and opportunities. I mean, in 1988, when I got into federal contracting consulting, the federal IT spend was about to kick up from $8 billion to the dizzying height of $12 billion. Now it's edging on 10 times that. Right. And so the idea of being able to have this endless stream of opportunities actually creates what I call the data distortion effect. You would think that with all this information, it would be easier than ever to find opportunities.
Right.
And in fact, I got to find the number, something like there's a third fewer small businesses in the federal arena now than there were 10 years ago.
Wow.
And what companies spend an average of $30,000 to $233,000 in a 12-month period on the road to their first federal win. And the average value of that win is only $370,000. So what's broken here? 80% of the companies who are pursuing federal business are just asking the wrong question. They're right. Looking at this flow of data and thinking, what can I bid? And right. Matt, do you wear glasses?
I wear corrective reading glasses. I do. Yes, just like
there
yourself.
There you go. So you've had the experience that I've had many, many times of sitting in the optometrist and they had the big thing with lots of lenses and they go flip, 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 better A or B, better A or B. And it's A and you flip over to B and go, oh, yes. So the flip of the lens question for federal contractors happens when you stop asking, what can I bid? And you start asking, who's my buyer?
Yeah.
Who's my buyer? Because that same intelligence that's showing the what can I bid, if you look at it differently and you start looking for the answer to the question, who's my buyer, that starts to move you upstream. Yeah. And that makes all the difference because the people who are successful have built relationships a long time before the requirements hit the street. Now you think, oh, that's so time consuming. Yeah. And how much did you spend, I asked people last year, on writing novels for strangers, bids for people who've never heard of you, responses to things set aside for a business like yours without stopping to realize that in order to set that aside for a, quote, business like yours, The contracting officer had to know of at least two, and honestly, they're very risk averse. Think about it. They needed to know a lot more than two businesses that they were already confident could do the work. So if they've never heard of you, sure, you can, I love this phrase, throw your cap over the wall and get my name out there. But why go to the effort of writing a big hairy proposal for a stranger when you can take a step back and go, ah, well, that ship has sailed, but here's contact information for somebody who clearly is involved in buying what I do. Let's get to know them and see what else we can find out about what else they buy, what else they need. It's very rare that the federal government buys a thing and they've never bought it before and they're never going to buy it again. No. Yeah. The same people are buying kind of the same stuff in the same box a whole lot. And if they don't know you, no matter how bright the smile, no matter how firm the handshake, the moment they set eyes on you, all they see is a great big ball of risk. They don't like risk.
Right.
So what Summit Insight is all about, to answer your question from 10 minutes ago, We are all about helping government contractors forge that deep human connection that it takes to win, to understand how it works and start building those relationships stronger, better, deeper, and a lot sooner than you do when you think that government contracting is all about a process. Because there's no such thing as selling to the government. Did you know that?
Interesting. Yeah.
There's no such thing as selling to the government.
It's human to human.
That's right. Ding, ding, ding. There's only selling to humans. And the sooner you figure that out and go, oh, well, crap, how can I make that happen? Because every single time I talk to a company in the federal arena and I say, hey, last 18 months, what percentage of your dollars of wins, prime sub in the federal arena, really came, had their start from a relationship? It's 80%, 90%, 85%. There's very few people in the federal arena who are just answering the phone and pumping out proposals.
Yep.
And that's where most of their money comes from, almost everyone. And yet, if that's the case, then why? I'll take a step back. Why would you not align your business development and marketing and sales resources with where your results are coming from? And this is a great time of year to be asking that question, because October, you've got fresh, new slate, fresh space, but there's a leftover that companies in the federal arena need to address before you move forward.
All right, great, Judy. Thanks for those insights. And tell us about, you know, contractors that are in the $50 million to $300 million revenue range. What do they need to do when it comes to preparing for fiscal year 2021?
Well, Matt, if a company is in the $50 to $200 million range in the federal arena, that tells me they have already invested a tremendous amount in marketing and sales and business development over the previous 12 months. As soon as you kick over to October 1st, the most valuable thing that any company in that revenue range can do is stop, first of all, and celebrate. Because the research shows, I am not, even though I'm an energetic person, the most intuitive party girl. I actually have to be almost kind of dragged into, do I have to stop and celebrate? What next? But research shows that the time we take to stop and celebrate our wins, acknowledge our accomplishments, gives us resilience for the tough times. So honestly, first, I encourage you to stop and celebrate and acknowledge those achievements first. Then you can get to, you ambitious companies, the what's next. But before you charge into moving forward, take a moment and look back and do a hot wash of your federal sales and marketing efforts for the previous year. A hot wash is the kind of thing, the term comes in part from after action cleanup, or even just the actual cleaning of a weapon after use to rinse off the dirt and make sure that if it didn't function correctly, you fixed it. Or it's also a post-situation or post-crisis response evaluation, what went well, what didn't. That's where the term hot wash comes from. In the federal arena, if you're a $50 to $200 million company, in order to get the last of the return on investment of the literally hundreds of thousands of dollars you've spent on business development, you get the final return on that investment by stopping to look at what worked. What's the actual causation, not just the correlation, between what we did and the business we landed? So what are those things we're going to do more of because they worked? Second, what are the things that kind of worked but needed to be fine-tuned if we're going to do again? And third, what are the things we're just not going to do anymore? No blame, no shame. You celebrate together and you look at how can we move on strongly. So get the hot wash done and get it done before mid-October. That's the first thing. Second thing, pumpkin spice latte. No, not to drink it, not even to buy it. Pumpkin spice latte is not just a beverage. It's a marketing trigger. When that beverage becomes available, let that remind you that it's time to get your head around having coffee-style informal conversations with your federal contacts and your buyers. This is the time of year that, why, they're not spending tons of money typically, but that also means they have time to talk to you. This is the time of year when people have just mopped up the previous year. They've doing their reports. Some of their joys and sorrows and hopes and dreams, they're looking at those again. It's actually where the wish list for 11 months from now gets started. What would they like? What didn't happen? What did? Get back in touch with them and make your New Year calls and start by giving thanks. So those three things, to hot wash and to set up your pumpkin spice latte calls, your reconnection New Year calls, and give thanks, both verbally, and find out who the manager is of the contracting officers and end users you've been working with, if they've been genuinely helpful to you in helping you perform well and win good work and serve well. This is something you did together. Write down what they did well. Write that letter of thanks. Put it on hard copy and as well email on your letterhead and put it in the mail. That's going to end up in your federal human's permanent file. That makes a profound difference to them when evaluation time comes around. Those letters in the file can make all the difference between who gets the promotion and who doesn't. A strong past performance will get you a second look, but a thank you letter will guarantee that they'll never forget you.
Yeah. And, you know, with 2021 upon us, I know it's kind of tough with the crystal ball, but we have, you know, we've had COVID-19 pandemic. We've got the upcoming election. You know, there's a lot of factors there that could really dominate the flow of the year. And, you know, I've heard that, well, if, and we're not gonna, certainly not going to get political on this podcast, but if the Democrats win, there's probably going to be a ramp up period and lots of different appointments and different changes. If the Republicans stay, it'll probably continue on the way it is. And from your perspective, you know, if the Democrats do win, what can contractors do during that time when there is a ramp up period for a new administration?
Well, what an interesting question you ask. And the thing that surprises people who are especially not in the federal arena is that there's some expectation that federal contracting all comes to a halt when there's a change of administration. And there's a baseline of federal programs that continue no matter who's in power first. There are some larger programs that we're heading toward decision points, and some of those decisions are going to get held until you've got new players in place. Many programs, that also means that the power of incumbency is very high. And so if you're already in a program and it's going well, then odds are good that your program may get extended while new changes of players figure out what's next. And so there's that. When a new administration comes into power, whether or not there's a change of parties, people want a fresh start. They want a new push. They want to be seen as moving things forward in a spirit of optimism. And so that can mean that there are programs that are looking for ways to improve efficiency, to lower costs. And if there is a change of party, you can expect new initiatives very few agencies want to go and throw out everything they were working on and start over again. You may have changes of direction. The time after an election, whether the party in power changes or not, you have a tremendous desire for showing that there's momentum and that those who elected that administration made a good decision. So you've got a lot of energy. You see a surge of energy no matter what, and you may see all kinds of more new initiatives rather than continuation if there's a change of administration. So for professional services companies, there's never been a better time to renew your relationships with the mid-level end users, because those don't change over. The mid-level, the program managers, the directors, people who are not the senior executive service, people who are not the administration appointees, those folks stay so often, regardless of a change of administration. And so checking in with them, do you think it's a really tense time for them? Of course it is. They're watching. They don't know whether things they've been working on or defending against or whatever they've been working on in their agencies, what's going to happen. It's a really tense time. And checking in with them, saying, how are you doing? Do you need anything? What's important for you right now? Not asking them political questions, but just checking in with them. You know, there's a whole machine out there saying that life is all about just pumping out the proposals. The people who have really great win rates only take on clients and proposals when they've had that conversation with people and they know, the proposal companies with high win rates know that the client has done the research, but has also had the conversations and has intelligence and a real sense of what it is that the buyers, the players at all the layers really want.
Yeah.
And so a great proposal company knows how to say no, and that's just one of the reasons why they have those high win rates. A great proposal company is able to really collaborate with clients, capture all of those things that somebody's been learning through dozens and dozens of conversations, and build that into that special sauce that really means that before the requirement comes out, that it's been really aligned to position that government contractor to win in the first place.
Yeah, I love it. And you just nailed it, because the name of this podcast series is The Secret Code to Government Proposal Success. And what you basically said there is, obviously, you know, a smart proposal response is great. You know, using a proposal services company is fantastic. But combine that with that human connection and that true knowledge of the buyer. That's the secret code, especially as we're coming into a new fiscal year with some uncertainties in front of us.
This concludes this episode of the Secret Code to Government Proposal Success podcast series, where Judy Bratt, the CEO and founder of Summit Insight, gave her perspective and tips into what contractors can do to ensure a successful fiscal year 2021. And stay tuned for future episodes, where we will continue to provide insights into new ways that government contractors can win new business, secure recompetes, and achieve long-term success.